Chapter 13. At the Fair. I'm nervous all the next day. I put on my costume wrongly. One of the girls spends hours putting on my makeup, and all the time I'm thinking about blue, blue, blue. I don't know how I get through the final show. I don't remember much of it. After it's finished, everyone throws their arms around each other, and we thank the orchestra. All the girls get flowers, and Cal gets them too for being a great stage manager. Ms. Albright gets lots of flowers. I think about how she wanted those boys to be suspended, and how angry she was for me when she went out and spoke to the audience about bullying. Why haven't I bought her a card? I want to give her something from me. I check the time all day. At 6 p.m., I leave. Although it's January, it's warm outside, and I have a good feeling. I keep remembering my dad's words. "You're very brave, kid." Maybe I am. Everyone is driving straight to the party from school, except me. I go home first because I don't care if it's January. I want the t-shirt. It's in my bedroom under my pillow. I put it on quickly and put a jacket over it. But suddenly, I can feel something like paper against my back. I put my hand inside the t-shirt and pull out a note. My hands shake as I read it. "I love the way that you smile, like you don't know that you're doing it. I love your untidy hair. I love the way you look at a person a little bit more than you need to. I love your moon gray eyes. So if you think I don't like you, Simon, you're crazy." And beneath that, he's written his phone number. My hands are shaking even harder now, and my heart is going fast. I could call him right now and know who he is. But I won't. Not yet. Because he might be waiting for me. So I need to get to the party. It's almost 7 when I get there, and I'm angry with myself for being late. I see Cal and the others from the cast waiting for tickets, so I go and join them. I'm worried that it's dark, and that blue has come and gone. But it's impossible to know when I don't know who I'm looking for. We buy lots of tickets, and then we go on the fair rides. There's a huge wheel with seats, and those small cars that you drive into each other, and a ghost train. Then we get hot chocolate and sit drinking it. I stare at everyone who is walking by, and each time someone looks at me, I feel my heart jump. Then I notice Abby and Nick sitting holding hands. She has lots of soft toy animals at her feet. "Did Nick win all those for you?" I say, feeling nervous. I'm not sure if she's speaking to me at the moment.
"No, I won them for him," she says, and smiles up at me. "Sit with me, Simon."
I sit next to her, and she drops her head against my shoulder.
"I'm sorry," she says. "I know you were being blackmailed. And I can't stay angry when I'm really happy."
Nick moves closer to her, and they smile at each other. "You two are going to be one of those awful couples, aren't you?" I say, smiling. It's 8:30 p.m. now, and I still haven't found him. Or he hasn't found me. It's hard to know what to think. He likes me. That's what the note said, but it was written 2 weeks ago. It almost kills me. 2 weeks with the t-shirt in my bedroom, and I didn't know that the note was there. I'm really stupid. Maybe he's changed his mind about me. The party will finish in half an hour, and I should go home, too. But I still have a few tickets left, so I decide to use them all on the Tilt-A-Whirl ride. It's one of those rides that takes you round in fast circles and makes some people feel sick. I'm alone in my seat, and I pull the belt round me. There are two other girls on the ride. All the other seats are empty. I sit back and shut my eyes. And suddenly, someone sits down next to me.
"Can I sit here?"
a voice says, and my eyes immediately open. It's cute Bram Greenfield, with the soft eyes and the perfect quiz marks. I let him under the belt and smile at him.
"I like your t-shirt,"
he says nervously. "Thanks," I say. "It's Elliot Smith."
"I know," says Bram.
There's something in his voice. I turn to him slowly, and his eyes are wide and brown and open. I feel my stomach turning. "It's you," I say.
"I know I'm late,"
he says. Then the ride begins to move, and suddenly there's music. Bram closes his eyes as we go faster and faster. I remember once he wrote that he doesn't like fair rides.
"Sorry,"
he says when it finally stops, and his eyes are still closed. "It's okay," I say. "Are you feeling sick?" He nods.
"I'll be okay in a minute."
We leave the ride and sit down next to it. He puts his head between his knees. I sit next to him, feeling strange and nervous and almost drunk.
"I've only just gotten your email,"
he says.
"I was sure that I was going to miss you."
"I can't believe it's you," I say. I want to touch him. I've never wanted anything this badly in my life.
"It's me,"
he replies.
"You really didn't know?"
"Not at all," I say. He looks straight ahead.
"If you had been looking for it to be me, I think you would have guessed it yourself."
"You never gave me clues."
"I did,"
he says, smiling.
"My email address, bluegreen118, Bram Lewis Greenfield, my birthday, and my name is Abraham, an American president."
I feel really stupid. I was looking for him to be Cal, and I thought that blue would be white. That makes me want to hit myself. Why start thinking white? I shouldn't think anything. I move closer to Bram so that our arms are almost touching.
"I must really like you,"
he says. So I move even closer, and my heart is in my mouth. Because there are people everywhere, and they can see us, and I don't know whether he's come out or not. "I want to hold your hand," I say.
"So hold it,"
he replies. And I do. On Monday, Bram finds me outside of my locker.
I think that we should go somewhere, he says.
So we walk out the side door and through the car park. The air is cold and it's just stopped raining. We sit in Bram's car and he puts on some slow music. Then he drives to a supermarket where we buy ourselves some lunch. 2 packets of Oreos and some milk. He's remembered to bring bowls and spoons. We get back in the car and suddenly my hands are on his shoulders and I'm trying to keep breathing. And then we kiss. And it's really gentle and still and so wonderful that I can't even describe it. 10 minutes later, we're eating the Oreos and milk with our spoons.
So, now what? I ask.
He looks at me and then he takes my hand.
I want you to be my boyfriend, if you want that too, he says.
That's what I want, I reply. My boyfriend. My brown-eyed, good at grammar, jock boyfriend. And that night, we tell everyone on Facebook. Abby is first. Like. And then it's more. Like, like, like. The next day, I'm in the kitchen with Mom. I'm smiling because Bram and I are texting each other.
You seem happy, Mom says.
I smile.
Tell me about your boyfriend, she says.
So my sister is going to get murdered. At that moment, I hear a car pull up outside. I look out the window and am surprised to see Leah in her car with Nora. I immediately go outside and pass Nora, who has just gotten out and looks at me with surprise. But I run straight past her and climb inside the car. Leah looks at me with angry eyes. Get out of my car, she says. I want to talk.
Well, I don't, she shouts.
I know that you're angry with me, I say. And I'm sorry about Midtown, I really am. But are we really not going to be friends anymore?
Aw, maybe you should go and cry about it to Abby.
Seriously, Leah, I say. What is your problem with her? Is it because she's Nick's girlfriend? She looks like I've hit her.
You love her too, Leah shouts. In a non-sexual way, of course, but why not when she's really pretty?
You're pretty too, I say. Please stop it. You're my best friend.
Then why did you come out to her first? She asks. I thought that you trusted me. How long have you known her?
6 months?
You've known me for 6 years.
Look, I know it's strange, but it was easier to tell her for that reason, I say.
You and Nick have known me forever. You know me really well. I don't have that history with Abby. It's like this gay part of me is new, and I needed to try it, like new clothes, and I don't know if it fits. I needed someone who didn't know me really well and could go with that.
She stares through the window.
Okay. I understand that, she says. When you live with something for a long time, it's hard to change it.
Leah, I'm an asshole, I say.
Please don't cry.
But suddenly I am. I'm crying really hard and my head falls against her shoulder.
I really love you, you know, Leah?
I'm really sorry about everything. About Abby, about all of it.
It's fine, she says.
And her voice sounds strange. Did you get something in your eye, Leah?
I say. No.
Shut up, she replies. You did. I put my hands over my eyes and laugh.
From marty.mcflatison@gmail.com to hourtohour.notetonote@gmail.com. Date, January 29th at 5:24 p.m. Subject, sorry isn't enough. Hi, Spire. I know that you hate me, and I understand that. And I know it isn't enough, but I just want to say sorry. I keep thinking about our conversation in the car park and what you said about what I took from you. And I feel like I took something enormous. I'm really sorry about the blackmail and the post on Creek Secrets. I took it down myself before anyone else could. I just wanted you to know that. My brother came out in the summer, and my parents made a big thing about it, and maybe I thought it was stupid because he isn't even here most of the time. But it was mostly about liking a girl and being jealous because she was your friend. It seemed really easy for you. You should know that you're actually really lucky. Anyway, I've heard that you are now really happily in gay love with Abraham Greenfield, and I want you to know that I'm really happy for you. You're a great guy, Simon, and it was cool getting to know you. If I could do it again, I would blackmail you into being my friend and be happy with that. Martin Addison.